Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 says, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What a great thought. God has blessed us in the spiritual realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenly realms. In Christ, we have immeasurable blessing. Blessing beyond our ability to count, to recount. I don't know that we could even begin to remember. You know, we're starting to collect some of these blessings. Okay, I've been talking about that for a couple of weeks. I think a lot of people still forgot this week, and that's okay. What we would like you to do is, in the next couple weeks, sooner the better, bring in a few of your blessings from the blessing jar this past year. For the third week in a row, a few I'm defining as more than one and no more than 100. Okay, so bring some in, whatever amount you'd like. Some people I've noticed have photocopied some of theirs. Billy Joe rewrote some of ours so that we still have our copies. We didn't want to lose them, and ours are there. Or there are papers there. You can rewrite them if you want. Just rewrite it. If you can remember them, you can rewrite them today yet. But I'd love to have us, we have more space after we fill up those two bulletin boards. I'd just like to have us to put up blessings that we have seen in the past year. As Gail mentioned, you don't need to sign them. You don't need to, don't put up anything embarrassing. If you're embarrassed by one, don't put that one up. Right? If you want to put one up embarrassing about your spouse, I guess that's up to you. Maybe he or she will find out, maybe not, I don't know. But that's between the two of you. But I want to take a minute just to read a couple that are back here. If I read one of yours, I'll try not to embarrass anybody. Here, somebody's dinner turned out perfect. Someone was able to afford a new refrigerator with an extra paycheck that came. Here, Billy Joe actually put my name down that I got new glasses. I am old now. I have bifocals. Technically, they're transitions. They're not bifocals, but still. Yeah, I'm officially old. The extended nice weather in November and December. I mean, there was a blessing, right? This one was not from today. Spring is here. Beautiful day, butterflies. There's something for us to remember. Spring is on its way. We have leftover Halloween candy to eat. There we go. Hey. take your blessings where you can, right? I would encourage you to stop and read them, and I would encourage you to add yours to that, and stop in once in a while and look at them, and I would encourage you to continue counting your blessings. If you don't have a blessing jar, there are some back there on the table. Y'all mentioned that. And just on whatever kind of paper you want to write on, we put our jar on the dining room table. That's what was convenient for us. And we don't add to it every day. We could, but we don't. But we sit down and write stuff and plop them in. And it was a lot of fun. We haven't finished reading through all of ours yet. But it's been a lot of fun kind of reading through these. Some of them we've dated, some of them we haven't. Remembering different things. That one, spring. Right this time of year, it's nice to remember that spring will come again. So that's a great thing. We are blessed so much, and we don't recognize it. You know, this Ephesians chapter, the text goes on, and you know, to paraphrase some of it, you know, it says that we are blessed because we're chosen by God to be holy and blameless. You know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are blessed by being chosen by God to be sons and daughters of God. God has chosen us to be His children. We belong to God. Our inheritance is in the Lord God Almighty. We're blessed by being redeemed. We're forgiven by God's grace. We're blessed by being praise and glory to God. Praising God and glorifying Him are a blessing back to us, that we can do it. We're blessed because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our seal that protects us and reminds us that our inheritance is in Christ. These are huge eternal blessings, and they're easy for us to take for granted, unfortunately. But they can't be taken away, and they will last forever, beyond the end of the universe. You know, there will be a time where there is a new heaven and a new earth. What is here will pass away. But these blessings will not. Now, I know, well, if you're like me, you don't always feel blessed. I was going to say, I recognize we don't always feel blessed. Maybe that's just not a fair thing to say. Maybe some of you do always feel blessed. I know I don't always feel blessed. But we are always blessed. You know, the Gospel of John shows us, here's this little scripture I'm going to read. And Jesus is telling the disciples about the fact he's going to die. He's going to leave them. And they're really distressed. They don't like this. They're very upset. Now, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection were a huge blessing. I mean, just that is a blessing beyond measure. The disciples were going to be blessed by the fact that Christ was leaving. But they didn't feel like they were blessed. It doesn't seem like a blessing when Jesus is telling them about it. So John 14, verse 1, Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." See, when the disciples were distressed, they're uptight, they're worried about this, they're upset. Jesus told them that their comfort was to be found by placing their trust in God, by placing their trust in Him. He says that they should believe in Him. The NIV translates it trust. Put confidence in, rely on. Here's a paraphrase of like what Jesus is saying. Look, disciples, I know you're upset. It's going to be a difficult time, but don't be troubled. Find peace in trusting God. Find peace in trusting me. It's going to be okay. So now, trusting God is not denying the problems. Trusting God is not saying, well, you know, these problems just don't exist. You know, I don't hear you. I'm not listening. Trusting God is not like just wishful thinking. You know, as long as I think positively enough, you know, the problems are going to go away, right? This isn't the power of positive thinking. I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of Christ, not the power of positive thinking. Trusting in God is putting our confidence in God in the middle of the problems. And instead of saying, you know, these problems don't exist. See, Jesus really was going to go away. Jesus really was going to die. Jesus really was going to be risen again. And the disciples really were going to go through a different kind of a life than they thought they were going to have. But they're supposed to trust God in the middle of it all. Put confidence in God in the middle of the problems. Recognize that God is bigger than the problems. The problems exist. The struggles are here. But God is bigger. See, God is good, even when we don't see His goodness. God is good even when we don't understand. His goodness doesn't depend on our ability to understand what He's doing. God does what is right always, and God's wisdom is best always. Now, I prefer my wisdom most of the time, and I know that what I want is my preference. But God is right. I get lucky and I get right once in a while, but God is always right. You know, it's easy when something goes really well to say God is good, right? Some great blessing comes along. You know, it's been a long winter and it's a beautiful spring day and you see your first robin and you hear the first bird singing and you say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But trusting God is saying God is good when things look bad. Believe God is good all the time, then God is good in the dreary winter, cloudy day. When it's been 60 days and you haven't seen the sun. Normal winter. When it hasn't gotten above freezing in what feels like years. And you truly don't remember what a sunny day looks like. You don't remember the sound of birds. And you're sure that if you were to see a robin, you wouldn't know what it was. Having confidence in God is saying God is good in those times. Another word for confidence is faith. Now, faith is a trait that grows in us. God grows faith in us. Confidence in God, faith comes as we go through struggles and God carries us through. You know, I really like the idea of staring down a crisis and having huge faith in God. There are songs about that, and I like those. Trusting that this giant of a problem is going to go away. It's going to fall like when David killed Goliath. I like the idea of just being able to stare down problems because I have so much faith in God. But that confidence doesn't come out of nowhere. God grows that confidence in us. Confidence in Him. God grows that trust. God grows that faith. And we grow that as we go through struggles. The disciples learned to trust God by walking with Christ, by following Him. And that's exactly how we learn to trust God. We walk with Christ. We follow Him. We go through good times and bad times. And, you know, just like that one blessing that, you know, last year there was a spring. You know, I believe there will be one. We haven't had that many days of winter yet. But today is really a dreary day. I mean, give me a break. But spring will come. I've experienced more than springs than I should probably count. Some of you are in the same boat probably, possibly. You wouldn't want to list just how many springs you've experienced, but all those springs have taught me that spring comes after winter. So I have a question for you. Trusting God. We're going to trust God. Is that active or is it passive? That's a real question. How many people think it's an active thing? Trusting God is active. Right, there's a lot of hands there. How about trusting God is passive? Okay, some hands there too. It's a trick question. I would suggest it's both. Trusting God is active and is passive. So the answer to the question is, Yeah. Yes. See, trusting God is active. You're stepping out. You're doing what God has called you to do. Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on the water. Who walks on water? Okay, well, Jesus does. And Peter did. Right? But he had to get out of the boat. Stepping out, doing what God has called us to do. Trusting God is praying for our needs, praying for our desires, praying for healing. I mean, prayer is investing time and energy in a conversation with God. Prayer is actively saying, God, I trust that you can influence this. Trusting God is active. Trusting God is sacrificial giving. Trusting God is running from temptation. Trusting God is signing a mortgage on a home. I mean, who has that kind of cash, right? If you had that kind of cash, you wouldn't be signing a mortgage. You know, I just borrowed something that, you know, is worth like, I borrowed enough money it would take me 3 years to earn this back if I didn't spend any money on anything else. You know, 3 years of my salary. Trusting God is sharing Christ. Trusting God is moving to a new home or a new job, getting married, raising children, going to school. There's a nice thought as we get ready for school starting back up again. School is an act of faith, right? It'll be worth it later. It's even tougher when you go to college, by the way, I think. You have to pay for that, right? I'm paying to be abused like this? Yeah. Actually, you know what amazed me? When I got out of college and I had a job as an engineer, and I thought, I'm doing the same stuff I did for 4 years, although it's actually easier. And I'm getting paid now. This is cool. But 4 years of engineering work, you know, that's trusting God. Seeking to live out God's will in our lives, trusting God is active. But trusting God is also passive. It's accepting that God is Lord and Master. I need to do what I got to do, but I'm counting on God to do the rest. Trusting God is, you know, I'm going to go to school, you know, in my case, to be an engineer, but I guess there'll be an engineering job at the end of all that. Otherwise, I've got serious debts I don't know how I'm going to pay off. Trusting God is that I'm going to pray, but then he has to work. You know, I'm going to share Christ, but I don't save people. I just introduce him. God has to work in the heart of the people I'm sharing with. Trusting God is accepting that God is Lord. He's Master. Philippians says, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." It's all about Jesus. Job, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Man, now there's a wise statement. The Lord gives, he takes away, may he be praised. Whatever he does. He also says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Do we accept what God gives us? That's passive. Trusting God is surrendering to him. Trusting God is surrendering to him. We have to accept and embrace God's will. And that's hard. In good and in bad. In plenty and in scarcity. In hard times, in easy times. You know, it's one thing to accept God's will. Okay. It's, you know, like going to school tomorrow, right, Joel? All right, I got to go. You know, I'll get up. You know, I'll go shovel the snow. You know, I'll clean the ice off the windshield. You know, whatever. We have to accept it. But then there's embrace God's will. God really calls us to embrace His will. I will cling to it. I will hold on to it. Closely, willingly, even enthusiastically. Okay, it's a dreary day, and this is the day that God has given me. I haven't seen the sun since I was 12 years old. But that's the life God has given me. That's a bit of an exaggeration, unless you're just over 12, I guess. But I will embrace the life that God has provided to me, whatever that means. It may not be what I always wanted, but God is good even when we don't see His goodness. And He's good even when we don't understand. And He always does what is right, and He always knows best. He's the Father that knows best. Always. So we need to trust Him. So again, I would ask you to try to count your blessings this year. Some of us, as I've heard people talk, some of people's greatest blessings have come through difficult pain. And in the middle of that, all we can do is say, well, I will trust God and I will trust Jesus. God is good all the time, even if I don't see it, even if I don't understand it. Communion. Jesus died. I mean, is it heresy to say if Jesus hadn't died on the cross, communion would just be bread and juice? Right? Now, He did. Okay, it's kind of a stupid question because He did die on the cross. Okay, but our greatest blessing came through Christ's terrible ordeal. And how could you be at the cross? I mean, even if you don't even know who the man is, right? Let's say, you know, you came to Jerusalem and you never heard the guy. You never heard of him. And you're standing there watching the crucifixion. Okay, I'm just saying you don't know him, so you're not emotionally attached to this. How could you possibly say there is any blessing at all going on as Jesus dies on the cross? It's a blessing for the cross makers. I mean, you know, how on earth is there a blessing there? But it's a huge blessing. It's the greatest blessing. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we do have life everlasting. And there is healing. And there is hope. And it all comes around because of Christ dying on the cross and then 3 days later rising again. So in communion, we recognize that we have incredible blessings. You know, if you're wondering what to write, as you're, you know, if you can never think of any blessings, when you go home today at lunch, you write down communion. Or Christ died for me. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. They're defeated. Done. That's what we celebrate today here. See, Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. saying, this is my body broken for you. This represents his brokenness to make us whole. And then after they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, this is a new covenant of my blood. His shed blood buys us salvation, buys us forgiveness.